Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. I am so glad you're here. Before we start the show, if you're interested, we have a free Facebook group called Savvy Nurse Writer Community. I appreciate you following and listening to me today, and I would love if you would subscribe via iTunes. And if you love our show, can I ask you for a review? Select ratings and reviews and write a review. It's that simple. I would love to read your review, and it helps other nurses like you find our podcast. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Savvy Scribe Podcast,
a podcast for healthcare professionals who are interested in starting their own health writing businesses.
I'm Janine, a registered nurse and your host. I'm a labor and delivery nurse, mom to these two incredible boys, wife to my best friend, and owner of two crazy Great Danes. I help nurses discover freelance writing as an extra income opportunity with help from my guests. Join us over on Facebook in the group Savvy Nurse Writer Community, or SavvyNurseWriter.com to join our course and membership to create your own profitable writing business.
Enjoy the show!
Tracy, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Please tell everybody who you are, where you're from, and what you're up to these days, and where you know, like how you got here.
Oh, absolutely. So I am from Australia, if you haven't already guessed with the accent. My background's basically actually my background's in accounting and psychology. And then 17 years ago, I found a love for digital marketing and sort of fell into that. Have my own agency. An agency in the United States. Actually, most of my clients are in the US, but I'm based in Australia. I'm a mum. I'm also a grandmother, so I like to be nearby my family. But the agency now, we specialize in one division specializes in digital marketing for e-commerce businesses. And then the other side actually specializes in SEO and growth strategy for podcasts. I have a special interest in healthcare because I'm a psychologist. I don't practice anymore, but I worked in acute psychiatry for 12 years and had my own counseling practice for a long time. So have a real interest in healthcare and a lot of clients who are sort of in that healthcare supplement industry. So that's kind of where I sit.
So now I have to ask you, how did you transition from psychology, being a psychologist, to an agent?
It was actually a psychic helped me do that. Now, as weird as that sounds, I wondered how I would market my own business. That's pretty much how it started many, many, many years ago. I thought, how am I going to get out there? And then once I got down the rabbit hole of you can probably imagine with an accounting background and a background in psychology, I'm very, very analytical by nature. So once I got into the rabbit hole of Google Analytics and analytics overall and looking at the psychology of marketing, that was it. I was hooked. And so I ended up sort of I took on a couple of clients as a favor and then found that I had far more passion for the marketing than I did continuing my counseling practice. And whether you believe it or not, I had a reading with a psychic and she said to me, "You've got these two things and you really don't know how to choose which one you want to do. And, you know, what you haven't thought about is why don't you just combine the two and become a marketing psychologist?" And that's what I did. So that's kind of what I fell into. But I just found I'm very creative by nature anyway, and found the creativity of marketing and the new ideas and the constant changing ethos of digital marketing and marketing itself. You know, there's I think last year there was something like 6,000 Google algorithm updates between, you know, small and large ones. And I love that. I love the changing landscape. So it really suited my personality to have that, you know, the creativity mixed with the analytics, mixed with the psychology, just all fell together and thought, yep, this is my space. This is where I want to be. And I haven't left since.
You know, it's kind of funny when I talk to other marketers who have like no inkling about the healthcare space. It's funny how they're like, this is, you know, it's totally different, like what you guys do. And I'm like, it's actually science. Like, to me, it's more of a science than it is anything else. Like, and I guess I never put the two and two together until I started having my own business. And I'm like, it's really just figuring out the formula, right? Yep. And figuring out what works and doing it. So to me, it's more of a science-based than and creativity for sure, because you've got to be creative about it. And then, you know, marketers kind of open their eyes. They're like, oh yeah, you know, I guess it kind of is. And I think that's what a lot of us go into, especially SEO, where you're like, yeah, it's a science, analytical, and some of our brains are wired that way. And we like numbers and we like, you know, we're just a bunch of nerds. That's what we are.
It's so true. And I absolutely think the two go together, certainly for me, because something that I actually really like is the fact that I can remove my own opinion at times. Many times, you know, you'll be in a meeting with clients and go, no, we should do this and we should do that and we need to do this. I'm like, well, what does the data tell us?
Yes.
Let's just look at the data and there's our answer. So, you know, recently it hasn't been that easy because Google, I rely on. Many marketers rely heavily on Google Analytics, which has now changed to GA4. And it's I'm not the only marketer who's going to say it's horrible.
It is horrible. Yeah.
It is horrible, right? So, you know, there's a whole reason why they had to do that. But the data is not as forthcoming as what it was. So, you know, there's a lot of us that are diving into using completely separate analytical tools now to Google. But the, you know, with all the tools that we have at our disposal, the answer is there. And that's the same with SEO. You can remove a lot of the guesswork by looking at the data and using the right tools and working out exactly what your audience is searching for to grow a business and grow a podcast.
So yeah, I think the funny thing is about just marketing in general. Like I said, it is a very creative thing, but the data doesn't lie. But it's different. It can differ industry to industry, and it can differ depending on if the client is focusing on the right audience, because sometimes they think they're focusing on the right person and they're not. And then that's change that up and it's like, oh, these are the results we were looking for all along.
So true. And, you know, even the amount of clients over the last 17 years that I've spoken to, and one of the first things I say to them is, what keyword do you think, or what, you know, what search terms do you think your customer base is searching for, or, you know, your clients are searching for? Oh, they're definitely searching for blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you realize that's very much an industry term. It may not necessarily be what your target market is searching for. Oh, yeah, everyone calls it that. Okay, well, let me go off and do some of the research. And I come back to them and say, you know, you're wrong. Here's the data. Yeah. This is what you've got to change it up to. These are the types of words that, you know, your target market is using. And they're like, oh, no, you know. But also that also applies to ages and demographics. And, you know, they'll be using certain words and phrasing targeted towards a 40-year-old market, yet their market is 20, you know. So. Yeah. The data is there. All of those answers are there. It's just a matter of, you know, finding the right tools, understanding how to use them, and applying them to your podcast or, you know, any marketing to make sure that what you're doing speaks to your audience.
Exactly. And so tell me, Tracy, what specialty in SEO because there are multiple. I mean, there's on-site, there's off-site, there's marketing in general, like you said, podcasting. Where does your like passion lie? What do you love to help with the most?
Probably all of them. I started in this industry in a time, and it's showing my age. I might sound youthful. I'm not, as I said, I'm a grandmother, so I'm not that youthful. But I started in a time when there was no such thing as mobile devices. So, you know, I still remember the month where desktop and mobile were split. The search results were split, and we really had to look at SEO from a mobile perspective and a desktop perspective. But in terms of starting so long ago, it was a time when we really didn't, social wasn't huge. It was a much more minimized version of what you see now in terms of digital marketing. So I was able to learn everything from, you know, kind of web development through to email, through to SEO, Google Ads, everything, content marketing, because we were able to back then. These days you find most people go, I specialize in SEO, or I specialize in content, or I specialize in on-page. But because I started so many years ago, I was able to learn all of those things. And so my job as a strategist really is to look at all angles and then work with a team and say, right, this is then what you need to do and what you need to do, and this is the strategy that we need to use. In terms of me personally, I am the quintessential Gemini. So if I stay on the one task for too long, I get bored. So I really like the fact that I've got, you know, 100 different things to do. So my day might be, today I feel like doing some content marketing, right? I've got to do a blog plan for a client, or we've got to look at episode titles and do some research. I really need to do some on-page stuff. Now I need to do some off-page. And podcasting is quite different to, say, SEO for a trade service or SEO for e-commerce, because with podcasting, sure, the most successful off-page technique is collaboration. And, you know, getting a someone, not so much like me, but someone who has an audience of their own and can expose you to their audience. So that sort of off page works really, really well. You know, link building for off page, for example, for a podcast, yeah, it's okay, but it's far more powerful if you were able to get a guest on your show that has a really good audience that you can link in with as well. So, you know, it just depends. A real and honest answer to that is it depends how I feel on the day.
Nothing wrong with that. What do your clients mostly come to you for? Like, what is their pain point?
Oh, well, if it's e-commerce, it's sales.
Sure.
If it's a trade business, it's leads. If it's a podcast, it's listeners. And grow. I suppose the overall answer would be growth.
Sure.
You know, there's no business that sort of comes and says, hey, can you help me? Because I really want to scale down.
Right. You know,
it's all about growth strategy. How do I grow my business? And that business could be a podcast, it could be an e-commerce business, but in any business, you see a lot of cookie cutter type of solutions. So, you know, hey, just do this for SEO for every business, or just, you know, I think I was in one of the podcast groups the other week, and there was a podcaster who said, oh, I really want to grow my podcast, so I think I should just throw money at a heap of Google ads and see how it goes. Like, no. Other podcasters are like, yeah, do it. And I'm like,
oh no,
don't do
You're
that.
You're throwing money away. Yeah.
You are. And it also really, if clients come to me, it's very much it's a business by business basis.
Yeah.
And not only that, this is where, to me, my psychology and any psychology really helps, because I could put together a complete strategy, but if I don't know you and I don't know your personality and I don't know what your own goals and way of dealing with customers is, then that strategy may completely not work. So, you know, it's really important that I understand who the business owner is, and the way that they, you know, because there would be no point putting a strategy together and saying you've got lots of personality and you're someone who's an extrovert and, you know, you love talking to people. If they say, no, I don't want my phone to ring, you know, I hate talking to people. So it really, it's very much it's turned into, you know, after all these years, very much a strategic role. Like, where are you? And doing a gap analysis, you know, where are you now and where do you want to be and what do we have to do to fill that in and get you to that next point?
It makes sense. It totally makes sense. And, you know, don't we wish there was just like a plug and play solution for everybody? Everybody would be the same though. And that's what marketing, like, you have to market yourself differently, because then, you know, who's going to buy from you if you're the same as everybody else? But I think today's like takeaway for people, we want to kind of give you guys an idea of how to do some sort of SEO growth strategy. Yep. So Tracy, I'm going to have you just kind of take it away with any tips, tricks, sure, for whatever you have sure for us, we will take in.
Sure. So before I mentioned, you know, there is no cookie cutter solution, and there isn't, because every business and every person is different, as is every listener, right? So, you know, there are people who are going to listen to, say, a mum, you know, there might be a podcast for mums about young children, is not going to be for someone who's looking to listen to a podcast on, you know, grief, for example. You know, everybody's different. So it's, but what is this, what is the same across the board are the basics, the podcast SEO basics. And it's very, actually, it's quite similar to if you're a blogger, then you're looking at SEO basics. But in terms of podcasts, there are 9 points that are super duper important, and there's tools that you can use for each of them. So the first, if we look at the, where do we start? And I'm assuming that anybody listening has already got their podcast and has a host that is, you know, a platform that's hosting their podcast. So I'm sort of not going to go into, you know, getting yourself a podcast and all the rest of it. So you've already got your podcast and you're thinking, how do I get out there and grow my podcast using the science of SEO? So the first thing is keyword research, without a doubt. And what do I mean by keyword research? Keyword research is the words that people are using to search for your podcast. So as an example, I'm a Spotify user, use Spotify all the time, whether it's music or whether it's podcast. If I'm searching for a podcast, I'm going to go into search and I might type podcast about, I don't know, keto supplements or something like that. So the first thing to do is you don't want to guess the keywords that people are searching for. So those keywords are what people are searching for, and you could rank number one and be the first podcast that comes up in the search results for pink frogs with an umbrella. But no one's searching for pink frogs with an umbrella. So what you need to do is do your research into what keywords people are searching for. So how do you find those keywords? You have to use a keyword research tool. That's the only way to do it. There are Google Chrome extensions. There's one called Keywords Everywhere. You can pay to use that. But to me, there's two tools that I use, more sophisticated tools because we have paid tools. But when we're talking about free tools, so stuff that you don't have to subscribe to, there is a tool called wordtracker.com. And basically, this tool is absolutely fantastic, because if you have a podcast on, say, psychology podcast, and you want to know how many people are searching for the term psychology, well, that's all good and well. So, you know, you would go to Word Tracker and you would search for the word psychology, and it's going to give you a monthly volume search, and you can search by country as to how many people are searching for that keyword. But in terms of one keyword, that's very, very broad. So what we really like with something like Word Tracker is they also have questions that people are asking related to that keyword. So that's where not only do we find the keywords in terms of volume. So there could be, what is psychology? How does psychology work? How do you use psychology? You can also see there might be 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 people a month searching for that particular keyword or a question related to that keyword. So if then you say, well, you know, you go one step further, I'm not sure what to title my episode, for example, that's where a tool like Word Tracker is fantastic. Because you say, okay, well, I want to talk about supplements. I want to talk about keto supplements. So you might look for the term keto supplements. Well, hey, there's 2,000 people a month searching for keyword supplements. But what questions are they asking? So you might be able to have a whole episode around that question, because you know that WordTracker.com has just told me that how do keto supplements work gets 6,000 searches a month. So you already know 6,000 people a month are searching for how keto supplements work. So that's what you would then title your episode. And so not only would your episode then appear in search results for people searching on platforms like Spotify or iTunes, if it's on iHeartRadio, check there. But then we get so much more further down the road, because search engines like Google are now showing the search results for podcasts. Or you could upload your podcast to YouTube, which has a billion users a month, and people will search for, you know, there's keyword searches and question searches in YouTube. So then people will find your podcast that way. So keyword research is the number one thing to do if you have a podcast, because I've seen so many podcast hosts title their episodes in the most obscure ways. And the problem with that is it might ring true for their listeners, but if you're wanting a new audience, the way they're going to find you is via those keywords. And if it's really obscure, they're not going to find you. So you kind of need to do your research that way.
Yeah, I see that too. Especially, you know where I see it too is on like LinkedIn profiles. People have like these odd titles for what they do. And it's like, I'm a hero maker. It's like, what does that mean?
That's but, right. I'm not searching for a hero maker. If I've got my own business,
yeah, I want absolutely that. Right. But the same thing, like you said, I wanted to take a note about the keyword research in that, especially for new audiences, or, you know, we're talking about podcasts, but you throw it over to blog as well. For newer blogs or newer podcasts, don't we want to target keywords that don't have like a 6,000 monthly search, almost like a long tail strategy, or something that's searched but not that much, because we're new and we're not going to be seen as quickly as other blogs or podcasts?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
You would do a mix of both. I mean, long tail keywords are great, but if you do it properly and there's tools that will give you what's called a keyword density score. So, you know, they might say to you, this keyword's going to be really, really, really hard to rank for. But when you're talking about blogs and podcasts, it's going to be a long tail anyway because of the title or the sure. You know, so it will have that keyword in there. So what you want to do is sort of find the one single keyword or the keyword phrase and then find the questions around it. So not only will you be targeting the long tail keyword because you're phrasing it as a question that people are asking, which is always going to be much, much lower in volume than the actual keyword itself, if that makes sense. So, you know, there could be, 60,000 people a month looking for keto supplements. So that keyword would be within the long tail, which is how do keto supplements work? And then that's sort of addressing both of those, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
So that to me, keyword research is where you have to start, and you have to really get yourself familiar with keyword research tools, because that's the way that is going to work best, is if you make sure the title of your episode is something that people are actually searching for. And something that, you know, even in business and in podcasts too, I mean, podcasts are becoming such a business now.
Yes.
So something that I do a lot of with the clients that I have, and then I'll get referrals as well, is businesses that say, you know, people that say, hey, I want to start a business selling or talking about ABC. And sometimes there is such a minimal need, or the needs analysis will show that really you want to put all your time and effort into that, and there's 10 people a month globally searching for that. Like it's just not going to, it's not going to generate with them, you know, it's not going to resonate with anyone because there's hardly anyone searching for it. So you could go for low volume keywords, but yeah, the problem with that is that it won't have the same eventual growth as a larger keyword. And, you know, it's really, really important that you still have your own voice in there. So, you know, use that keyword and sort of enmesh it with what you do. But yeah, it's look for anyone new to the podcasting industry or blogging. Don't be scared of targeting those big keywords. Just make sure that you phrase it in such a way that it is within a question that people are asking. Do your homework that way. Another way to do it is automated search results in Google. So, you know, if you go to Google, you can actually start typing and Google will give you their own results, and they'll often give you a bunch of questions that people are asking for that way. And it's automatic and it's free. So yeah, I would not be scared of targeting those really popular keywords that have got, you know, the 30,000 searches a month, because when you're talking about podcasts, you don't have the same volume of podcasts as you do for, I don't know, Nike sneakers, for example. So any keywords that you use will definitely help your podcast in any platform get new listeners for sure. So that is the first thing I would start with. And that then sort of flows into the episode title and description. So when you're looking at the title, we call them in SEO, we call them meta tags. So if you've ever heard the term meta tags or meta title, meta description, what that actually means is if you go to somewhere like Google, a search engine like Google, and you search for something and you see the title of the website and then a little description underneath, that title is a meta description, a meta title, and the description is a meta description. And we have a certain amount of characters. I think there's a 70 character limit on the title and a 160 character limit on the description. So, you know, if someone goes to a search engine, for example, and sees a title and a description that's really not very interesting, you could rank it number 5, but your title and description is so much more interesting that people will click on your search result than somebody else's. So the format is you want the keyword that you're targeting. So just say you've got an episode and your episode is about, as I said, keto supplements. You want keto supplements, that keyword phrase, to be in the title of your episode, but you also need for it to be in the description of your episode. So you make sure you write a good title with that keyword and a good description with that keyword. And a really good way of doing that, and a fast way if you're not a writer by nature and you're struggling to come up with a good title and a good description, is just to go to ChatGPT and cheat. So you can actually put in podcast description, 60 titles about keto supplements, and ChatGPT will give you a title. Now, I wouldn't just use exactly what ChatGPT gives you, but it's certainly helpful for ideas to help as a base, and then you can, you know, kind of rephrase it into your voice. So it's really important that you have that keyword in the title and the description. So that's sort of the keyword research component of SEO. So the second part is transcripts. So when you have a podcast, I would certainly say, and one of the questions that I see in a lot of podcast groups is, should I have a website for my podcast? Yes, you should. That is absolutely 100% without a doubt. There are plenty of hosting platforms that will also give you a website builder. A lot of podcasters will use something like Wix. And then for sort of growth opportunity and for better SEO, you want to use something like WordPress. But having a website is so essential for many reasons. Number one, it gives your listeners a base to visit and learn about your podcast in one place. Number two, you're able to, like you do, Janine, you're able to embed each episode and have people listen directly from your website. And number three, for SEO purposes, having a transcript of your episode, making sure that there's keywords within the transcript, which sometimes is hard to do, but you know, you'll notice with this episode, for example, we're talking about podcast SEO. So I've mentioned the word podcast SEO a number of times, so it'll be in the transcript. If your guest isn't very good at doing it, then as a host, you make sure you kind of embed that phrase into your questions or into the chatter. But once you have a transcript and you upload it to your website, it's like a blog. And so Google's going to start looking at you as an authority in a particular space, and it will treat those transcripts like a blog, and you'll start getting indexed, and then people will learn about your podcast that way. So transcripts are very, very important. But not only are transcripts important for an SEO perspective, for accessibility, they're very, very important. So we need to start looking these days at there's actually legally, if you don't have an accessible website, then you can get in a lot of trouble. So we need to think about people that are vision impaired or hearing impaired. So if you've got people who are hearing impaired and can't listen to your podcast, then they can read your podcast via a transcript, which is really, really important. So a transcript is another part that not only helps to find a new audience and exposes your podcast to a much broader audience, but for SEO purposes, it is another level and another avenue that enables you to increase your visibility and for people to find you. So the transcript on a website is super duper important. In terms of SEO on a website, any website platform that you use, so just say you are using WordPress, which is certainly my preferred website platform. Really, WordPress started as a blogging platform anyway, but Google loves it. And the good thing about WordPress is it's what's called open source. So you can change the code and you can do different things like that. Whereas website builders like Wix, you don't have the same freedom to do things like that. So with SEO for a website, again, there are tools for everything. So there's what we call plugins and apps that you can install on your website, and they help you make sure that your SEO for each page and each transcript, it's basically a guide to help you write the right title and help you with a description. And it will give you scores. It will say, hey, you really need to add more content here, or add some more keywords, or put this in, or do this. And when you're talking about a podcast on a website, that's all good and well. So there's lots of SEO for a website. But then we sort of digress a little and talk about platforms. So SEO for things like Spotify and iTunes. And I've got a really, really, really great example of this. Is had a client who really didn't write very good descriptions for Spotify and iTunes and YouTube and so forth. And there really wasn't any SEO applied to it. So I said, okay, what we need to start doing for each of these platforms when your episode goes out is we need to have a much better description. Now, you will hear a lot of podcasters say 150 words is enough for a podcast description. And it is. It's all fine if you've got people who are familiar with podcasts. But if you're looking at SEO for a podcast, research has been done to show that 600 words is actually a fantastic description. But I don't expect, you know, I'm not saying go and write a 600-word description for every single podcast, because that's crazy and not everybody can do that. What I am saying is when you're writing a description for a platform such as Spotify or iTunes, make sure that you mention the name of your show in the description. So in this episode of this podcast, I have this guest, blah, 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 who is an expert in blah, blah, blah. But don't go into such lengths that people go, oh, well, I've just found out from the description what the episode's all about. Now I don't need to listen to it. But certainly have enough meat in that description that it's going to help you with SEO as well. So the description of your podcast is really, really important on those platforms. So the website and the description for the podcast. So far we've had keyword research, the episode title and description, the transcripts and a website, and making sure you have titles and descriptions for your podcast episodes. Now, that covers a lot of the sort of SEO basics. So the SEO basics being keyword research, and making sure that you have somewhere that people can find your information to increase that visibility. And those points are really, really important. We then move on to something like, do we use social media? And some people will ask me, social media really has nothing to do with SEO. And that couldn't be further from the truth, because there is a search functionality in social media that people use on a daily basis. There's hashtags on social media. And again, those keywords are where you use, you use the keywords in your social media posts as well. So social media is really, really important in terms of SEO, because it is another way to increase visibility using the right keywords. So, so do you have any questions so far, Janine?
No, this is great. And I am, you know, probably a little more advanced than most of our listeners with SEO, but I think you broke it down in such a good way. And, you know, I think there's something to be said about keyword research. Like, tools are great, but if you have, you know, one client that you're doing this for, you're doing it for yourself, I don't think there's a need to have paid tools, but man, are they helpful. Even if you just do a free trial, right?
Yeah. And it's, as you say, for the advanced user, and look, I use a tool that cost me a fortune. You know, when I did my tax last year and I looked at how much I pay for subscription, I nearly had a heart attack. But the data and the investigation, the lengths that those tools go to give you what you need. And I think for me, you know, I have new podcasters come my way and they'll say, you know, should I pay for this and pay for that? I think it's much easier to start paying for tools when you monetize your podcast. So you're actually making some money off it and, you know, it's not costing you a fortune. But yes, the paid tools, any tool for keyword research is absolutely essential because you otherwise you're guessing. And why not get the right information to, you know, and start off on the right foot?
And maybe we should mention something about keyword stuffing because
yes,
those were the days.
Weren't they ever? Those were the days back in the day where any backlinks, including adult websites, would help rank your website. And people would also type in white and hide it and think that would help them, you know, pop a whole heap of rubbish on their website. It was crazy. But keyword stuffing. So keyword stuffing is a technique that was good 75 years ago, but it doesn't work anymore. And what it is I still come across it today. I don't know if you do, Janine, but I certainly see it. I see it more on trade services, so like a plumbing website or something, you know, electrician or someone like that. Particularly if, just say they're trying to get new clients in Tampa, and they'll say, we are the best plumber in Tampa. If you want a Tampa plumber, then you should come to Tampa for your plumbing.
Yes.
We're a plumber in Tampa and we're the best Tampa plumbers that you're ever going to find. If you want a plumber Tampa, you will see this. I swear to God, you will see this on people's websites. That's keyword stuffing. When you think if I embed this keyword more and more times, it's going to help me rank. It'll help my visibility. It'll actually have the opposite effect. Google's very, very clever, and it will say these guys are keyword stuffing. Let's not rank them at all. So you really, there's kind of that, it's okay to mention it once or twice, but that's kind of the limit. And then we do something called you've got to find relative keywords, which helps work really, really well. So, you know, again, if we go back to say the plumber in Tampa, what are some keywords around plumbing? Locked drains, leaky taps, you know, things like that. So it's related terminology. But yeah, keyword stuffing is a big no-no. So don't say, hey, I found the keyword. We've got all these searches. So I'm going to put it in this sentence 20 times. No, don't do that.
Yeah. And it's that was a great example. Plumber in Tampa.
But
that
it's
was
true. I still
it is true. That's exactly what they do. And now you guys know that you're going to see it, you know, on a lot of different websites. Another one culprit is definitely e-commerce. You go to different sites that, you know, sell things and it's the same thing. You're going to see it a lot. And they're just trying to rank and
it doesn't work.
Google's onto them. And Google has progressed so fast in the last like 10 years.
Yes.
And their algorithm's constantly changing. And, you know, the G4, I totally agree with you. We used to get so much more granular with what exactly
our visitors were looking at and what we should kind of focus on more. Now it's very general, but that's a whole nother conversation.
That is. Hey, have me on again, and I'll talk about how much I don't like GA4. but I think one of the, you know, something that I get asked 10 times a week is, because I love data. I love that, you know, I could talk to you all day about data and analytics and the importance of it when you're looking at marketing. But one of the issues we do have in podcasting is there isn't something like GA4. There's no analytics. There's really not a tool that there are analytics tools for podcasting. If you have it on one platform, it'll give you like Buzzsprout or Podbean. You know, they'll have their own analytics and Spotify will have theirs. We don't sort of have one location. So it is a little bit harder to measure the impact of SEO for a podcast. So, you know, but you will know, I mean, certainly from a monetization perspective, I have e-commerce clients who have podcasts and we can tell that it's working because their sales go up. But that's not always the case. So, you know, it can be a little bit difficult to measure. So you need to find, you know, I say to clients, the best way to have that sort of single source of truth is to make sure you've got a website, because then you'll see if you've got more and more and more visitors coming to your website. And you can also put Google Tag Manager, again, another conversation, but you can put Google Tag Manager on your site to measure how many people are listening to your podcast on your site. So, you know, there's lots of tools. Can you measure the success of SEO? Not so easily, but you certainly will over time when your listeners increase.
Yeah, there's a business opportunity. Someone needs to come up with an analytic tool, because you're exactly right. Like, I use Buzzsprout, and it's funny because you can like see the most listened to episodes in like the last 7 days, and then like last 3 months, and then last year, and then all time. But it's you can't get granular like by the launch day or like at nothing. Like, that's really all you get. You know, it also is kind of seasonal. I feel like podcasts are like, I feel like a lot of times I notice a drop in listeners, obviously around the holidays. And yes, always beginning of summer, because a lot of my audience are moms and they're busy. They're not listening to podcasts. So that's a lot of time what I see. And you know, it might be different for other industries, but that's what I see a lot of. And yeah, they do need to come up with some sort of tool, because that would really
interesting. So because it's so hard, especially, you know, I've got clients whose podcast goes out to radio stations and everything, but there's no one tool. You can't measure. You don't know who's listening in their car or on their computer. But there really needs to be, I'm sure somebody, I wish I had the coding skills and to be able to develop one, but I'm sure that there will be a more sophisticated measurement in the future for that. Google have bought out, there's Google Podcasts now and there's YouTube Podcast. And so for anybody who's sort of wondering if they should expand where they're uploading their podcast to, then those tools are great. And the reason why Google Podcast is great and YouTube Podcast is those two platforms have much more granular details in terms of audience age and gender and location and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But, you know, there isn't just that sort of one analytics tool. So yeah, it is a little hard to see if your SEO has been effective or not. But SEO is a long game. And yes, I don't know if we've got any listeners who invest in shares, but there's day traders and there's long-term shares, you know, where you keep your investment for a couple of years. SEO and paid ads remind me of that in a way, because you know, paid ads are call to action, immediate. It doesn't matter how long your website's been up. You can get leads, you can get sales, whatever you're going to do. But SEO, do not expect to implement SEO and have it work tomorrow. because you'll be very disheartened. Even now, it can take Google up to 3 months to index content. They will tell you that's not true. It is true because there's been so much research done and people doing their own kind of projects on it, and it's taking them a long time to index new content. So, you know, it can take a while for your SEO to have an impact, but it will. It's, you know, it will happen.
You know, on that same note, I wonder too if Google's even more behind because of all the AI generated content now. I feel like so many people are doing, you know, a lot of companies are using AI tools to the max. And so they're coming up with every question every client has ever asked them and making a blog post about it, but it's all generated by AI, which again,
it's terrible.
It is. It's all terrible.
It is. And I had a client. You can so tell AI-generated content. It reads like AI-generated content. So I actually had a client say to me the other day, oh, I need to write a blog. Can I just write it in and copy and paste from ChatGPT? I use ChatGPT all the time. But I don't use it as a copy and paste tool. I use it as a brainstorming tool. And then I take those ideas and write my own content. And that's, do not use AI generated, like for a description, you go into ChatGPT, get a description for your podcast. It's fantastic. But take that and then remold it. Use it to give you some ideas because it's becoming so obvious. And you'll know just by the words used, explore, delve, deep dive. There's like a whole lot of words that ChatGPT uses for everybody. And you can tell a title that's been written by ChatGPT because they're really good at using colons. So they'll come up with, you know, blah, 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 colon, blah, blah, blah. Like this is how they write everything. So, you know, AI generated content. And one of the problems is I've heard people say, particularly in my industry, AI ChatGPT is detrimental. Don't use it. Don't use it. Google does not have the tools to detect if something is AI or not. If you've written a blog in AI, it doesn't yet have those tools, but it's becoming a lot more sophisticated because the copy and paste technique from AI, because it's so similar, and I can tell just by writing someone, you know, I've had a copywriter submit content to me. I said, you wrote this in AI. I can tell just by reading it. So if I can tell, Google's going to be able to.
That's what I was going to say. Like at first we didn't know that well, right? We didn't know really at first. Now you keep seeing it and it's like, oh yeah, that's written by AI.
It's so obvious. There's no voice.
And Google's always ahead of us. So they know. They know.
That's right. They're just waiting because people are using the tools to help with ideas and then branching off from there. You can't detect that somebody's done that. But if they copy and paste and drag that code over, so someone said, I just copy it straight from ChatGPT and paste it straight into WordPress. I'm like, good luck with that. See, yeah. Let's watch your website tank over the next 3 months, shall we?
And they've done studies on it. You'll see different people out there that have shown, you know, completely AI versus tweaked AI or original. Original always wins, right? And then the tweaked AI and then AI itself is when it all goes downhill for sure.
It will. That's exactly right. And some of
them. But again, not overnight because it's still an SEO game.
That's right. And it's like, you know, when people were having the conversation about backlinks. So for those, anyone listening, backlinks are another part of SEO. A backlink is, for example, if just say there's a, like Forbes. Forbes writes an article about keto supplements and links to your website as a resource. That's a backlink. Someone else's website is linking to your website. We call it sort of link building, but there is, once upon a time, you would want to get as many backlinks as you could. And anybody who had 20,000 backlinks to one page was at the top of the search results. And then Google started saying, well, yeah, but you're linking to all these terrible, irrelevant websites that have nothing to do with your industry just to get to the top of the search results. So, you know, a conversation we would have had 10 years ago was, yeah, go out and buy 5,000 backlinks. And now we're going, no, don't do that, you know. So times change and natural link building is much better. And there's been studies done that content will be at number one without any links at all. So, you know, when we go back to AI, it's just a matter of time before AI content is not ranked, but you can certainly use those tools like ChatGPT to help you with ideas. You know, I can go into there and write, please give me a sitemap for a travel website, and it'll do just that. It'll tell me every page I should have, and they're just amazing. But you need to then go and heavily edit and take that as a brainstorming session, and then go off and do your own work.
And I think that's where clients are right now, is everyone's like, they can do it. This robot can do it so fast. We don't have to do anything anymore. I think my prediction is this next year or so, they're going to realize, okay, we still have to do a lot of work. So right. Maybe this wasn't what we thought it was going to be.
A lot of copywriters have lost their jobs. But I think mm-hmm. what there's going to be in the future is a lot of work for copy editors. They need to go
right exactly
really badly written AI content.
It's funny because, you know, since Google released their latest like algorithm about, you know, the extra E in the EAT algorithm, and so many health websites were like, oh my gosh, we don't have people who are experienced writing our content. We're just writing it. And yep. So then they're coming to us to medically review it and give us like the byline on it, like Sally Smith, RN, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm seeing it for AI generated content. We need somebody to make sure this is actually accurate, because it's usually not. It's actually far from a lot of times. And, yes. But I do agree. It is a great, great tool. I feel like a lot of us in this internet world of online business and stuff, we're going to keep using it because it is very helpful to us. I do see, again, like clients and other people that were kind of playing around with it, they're going to fall off. They're probably not going to do it as much, you know, in the next year or so. But I think it's a great development that's going to keep, you know, going, but not,
I think,
not in the way. Fully.
No, no, no. And I think too, for the healthcare industry, a lot of the times, yes, A, the information is not accurate, but B, I've seen ChatGPT say things like, we can't give you this information because it's health related and yes. It's not reliable. So certainly in healthcare, there's a lot of people that will come out as authority, but it's not in their voice. It's not accurate information, and you do need to have the knowledge. So, I think AI for certain industries will not be as useful as in others.
So I just looked at the time and I was like, holy cow, we've been talking this long. I do want to try to wrap this up a little bit by asking you, Tracy, like, where can people find you? Where can we follow you? And anything else you want to add related to this conversation right now?
Sure. So the thing that I would add is, I have a checklist on how to write show notes. It's just a doc, but if anyone wants a copy, they're more than welcome to have one. So if you wanted to put a link somewhere on your site or whatever, but it's just
we'll
about
put it in our show notes. How about that?
So it's free, and you can use it if you like. And it just gives you links to those tools that I mentioned, like Word Tracker. I'm not an affiliate. Hello, Word Tracker, if you're listening. I'm definitely not an affiliate, and it's free anyway. So what am I going to make? Nothing. But it's just some SEO guidelines and how to write really good show notes. So that's number one. I just want to give people a bit of a takeaway.
If you want
to find me, my website is munndigital.com.au. And I'm on Instagram, which is Tracy, TRACEY_marketing.
Love it. Love it. Well, everybody, thank you all for coming today. This was wonderful. If you guys do think of some questions, go ahead and put them in our community and I will shoot them over to Tracy. And oh my gosh, thank you so much. This was so helpful for everybody. And I know this is going to be one of our top rated episodes. I already know it. So thank you so much. And you're definitely invited back anytime.
Well, I would love to, because as you can tell, I love to talk, but I love to talk specifically about this. So thank you so much for having me. It was just lovely to meet you and lovely to chat about a topic that I love.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. And you guys all have a great day and we'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Janine.
Take care.
See ya. Bye.
That's a wrap for today's episode of The Savvy Scribe. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, we'd love for you to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time.
Again, thank you for listening. If you're ready to explore freelance writing as your next PRN job or even full-time, I invite you to check out our Savvy Nurse Writer community on Facebook and visit SavvyNurseWriter.com to help you get started today.